as their superintendent, and he's just a good guy in the kingdom of God. He's done marvelous teaching and preaching. And we're glad that he's here this morning. As he comes, I want you to extend your hand toward him. He's a friend of this church. It's been too many years since he's been here. We need to have him here more often. But as he comes, extend your hand, pray for him, his wife, his children, his church. Brother Libby, come and take your liberty in the house today.
Praise God. We bless you, Jesus. We honor you. You're a totally cool God. We're so glad to know you. Amen. Turn around to three people and ask them, when are you going to get with it? You may be seated. Well, are there any first-time guests here today? Is there anybody here this is your first service? Praise the Lord. A couple back over here. Are y'all doing all right? Okay. Nothing's happened to you. Nobody ran into you. Okay. Do they look kind of happy to you? It don't hurt to get blessed, does it? There's no pain in it. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. We're delighted to have you folks with us today. Bless your heart and thank you for coming. You probably heard I was going to be here, right? Hey, it's great to be back. The last time I was here, the building we're sitting in was a slab on the ground. And when I came around the corner and Brother Pearson picked me up today. What's your name? Gibson, I'm sorry. Got the son, right? Son. Amen. And he was so kind to pick me up this morning. Praise the Lord. Thought he was coming to take me out. Bible says if you give one of God's children a cup of water, you shall not lose your reward. You won't lose your... And when I came around the corner and saw your buildings, I was just so impressed with how it looked, how awesome it was, how it tied into the other building. Now, I know this is old stuff for you. You've been in here 4 or 5 years, but for me, it was my first time seeing it. And it's a new sign out front. It just really looks fantastic. And I am just thrilled to be back. And it's a distinct pleasure for me to be back. Now, Pastor Sutton told me I'd be starting preaching probably about 10:45, and it's 11, and so I'm not going to cut my message back 15 minutes. If I get it late, you got to stay late. And great is the Lord. Amen. And greatly to be praised. Amen. Bible says he's worthy, which means deserving. How many believe he's deserving to receive glory, honor, and power? For thou hast created all things, and they were and are created for thy pleasure. You want to know why you were born? You were born to give God pleasure. Here's my definition of worship. Anything you do on purpose to please God. Anything you do on purpose to please God. I believe that gives him pleasure. Because in order to do something to please God, you've got to do it on purpose. Because our nature tends to go the other way. So you got to have a made up mind and a purposed heart to live a life that'll please him. Wimps can't do it. These big tough guys, I don't need God. They're faking it. They're too chicken and too wimpy. I don't care if you got muscles, go right to the ceiling. If you can't bend your knee to God, it's because you're weak. You're weak, you're a chicken, and you're a coward. It takes some fortitude, it takes some manliness, it takes serious womanhood to be able to get a hold of your nature and recognize you need God. Wimps can't do that. By the way, those guys that got muscles till the ceilings, half of them are gay. Proving my point. They're trying to be something they're not. You may be seated. If I hadn't offended anybody yet, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend anybody. But what a pleasure to be with Pastor Sutton, Sister Sutton, their children, Brother Sutton, who just got raptured. He was over there somewhere. Where is he now? Some are pointing over here. I'm talking about nephew Dawson. Oh, there you are. Bless your heart. Known him since he was a young man, little boy, really. And it's good to see him. Who's your wife? Which one in here is your wife? Teaches Sunday school. That's great. I want to meet her. And I'm happy for you. And happy for your brother who's suffering for the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray for him. Taking a church in Hawaii with deprivation, suffering, pray for him. Brother Sutton and I are going to go over and try to lift his hands, be an encouragement to him. I don't know how long we can take it being there. We'll just do the best we can. I almost, you know, I wasn't raised in a church. I didn't get saved till I was about 21. Not till I, about 21. I was 21. And I used to be involved in psychic phenomena, witchcraft, seances. And I almost had a psychic girlfriend one time. And she left me before we met. It was kind of a heartbreaking experience for me. But God has healed me. He's healed the brokenhearted. And I was wondering on the way over here, Brother Gibson, and I asked him, and he didn't know the answer. How do you tell when you're out of invisible ink? I mean, how do you know? And there's just one more thing that's been puzzling me, if anybody can help me with these issues, is if the word was misspelled in the dictionary, how would we know? That's been bothering me lately. Can you think of another word for thesaurus? I was trying to use a word in a sentence, trying to think of another word, and I couldn't think of another word for thesaurus. If you can come up with that, see me after church, would you? Now, I guess you really... Sunday morning is kind of a quiet service. You must really get with it at Sunday nights, right? Is that what the deal is? I was sitting over here in the corner, and I'm kind of hot-natured. My wife calls me the human furnace. And I was delighted when everybody just kind of, praise the Lord. I don't know where he's going, but he's in a hurry to get there. I was delighted when y'all started running. It was a great cool breeze coming right by me. It cooled me off. I appreciate that so much. Did you hear about those two cannibals eating a comedian? One cannibal said to the other cannibal, "You taste something funny?" think that's so funny. Anyway, I have tremendous respect and admiration for your pastor and his wife, because it hasn't always been like this. Hello? Hasn't always been nice chandeliers, beautiful carpet. God called him out of darkness into his marvelous light and brought him to Birmingham, brought them to Birmingham. They raised their family here, 19 years, is it? 20 years? And with nothing and nobody. Am I right? In the beginning? 12. And then look what the Lord has done. And how many's glad they were willing to pay the price? That's a price to pay. It wasn't Hawaii. It was Birmingham. And to me, preachers that start from the ground like that are just about maybe one half of a centimeter off the ground are heroes. One thing that's helped me through the years, especially when I would be going through church difficulties, maybe people leaving, but help me hang in there. When I die, there'll be a church in Gaithersburg, Maryland, that wouldn't have been there if I hadn't gone. And what pastor, when Pastor and Sister Sutton go into eternity, there'll be a body of believers that wouldn't have been there if they hadn't paid the price. That's where life really is at. It's not what you do for your company. It's what you do for the kingdom of God that's going to matter when it's all over. Can I get an amen from somebody? All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, a solid rock, I stand. You glad to be a child of God? What a safe place to be. What do people do? You may be seeing. What do people do in the day that we live in that don't have a God to go to? I've got 30 people living between my son and me and a couple other houses in our church. 30 people that were evacuees from the New Orleans area that left the city for 2 days. We're going to come back when the storm is over. Most of them haven't been back yet. The trauma they experienced, the devastation, the Pastor Martin from Chalmette instantly lost his job, lost his congregation, lost his income, lost his life's work in one day. Kind of like Job. Imagine how traumatic that would be. His saints are scattered all over the country. And those 30 folks gravitated up our way for a place to stay. He is my son's wife's father. And his family and saints from the church had no place to go, ended up with us. Earlier this morning, because we're on a 1 hour time change, I called my congregation and spoke to them and prayed over the Martins, because this week, they're going back, and they're starting to rebuild. They're building their ministry, the kingdom of God. What does people that don't have Jesus do in a time like that? Because when the whole world is blown away, we're still standing on the rock, aren't we? We've got a comforter. We've got strength. We've got a church family. And thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his goodness. And they're going back and going to start the process. And the pendulum that swung way over here in destruction is now swinging back into revival. And I believe the hotter your trial is, the greater your blessing's going to be. The deeper the valley, the higher the mountain. The hotter the test, the greater the blessing.
So what should you do when you're in darkness? Shout just like you'd shout when you were in light. Trust, anybody can shout when you're rich. Anybody can shout when you just got a promotion. A child of God shouts when they get fired. Because we know for us, all things work together for good to them that love God, to the according to his purpose. You may be seated. And I'll tell you what, just to save us time, I won't say you may be seated anymore. You just sit down when you want to. All right? You don't have to wait for me to say it. And are we in a hurry, by the way, really? Seriously. I tried to ask the dude, what time you normally get out? He said, when we're finished. Oh, yeah. What time is that? Then he shut the door. So if I go late in your mind, he never told me what time to stop. So it's not my fault. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I have a single adult conference. A bunch of married people come too. Every year around Thanksgiving. If you're a single adult particularly, Lee Stone King, Dawn Medina, Sam Emery, Danny Aber. And there's some flyers out in the foyer somewhere if you'd like to take a look at that. I also print or publish a weekly email devotional, sermon thoughts, Bible studies, stuff like that. Every week comes out. It's absolutely free. There's slips out there. I only got about 10 or 15 of them. But I have more in my room if you would like to get it. It's called Fruit from the Vine. I talked to Pastor Sutton. He didn't have a problem with me offering it to you. If you just fill it out, give it back to me, take it home, put it on the list. We have about 1,500 people that receive it every week and love to add you to it if you'd like to. Going to be back tonight. Can't wait. How many's ready for a word? You know, there is the word and then there is a word. There's the word of God in general, and then there's a specific word that tailorized and customized for you personally. I believe that God has given me a word, the word, and a word for this church today and tonight. And I know we have a fallen comrade and a viewing tonight, and I'm not sure how all that's going to work, but the word that I have for today, if I don't get too far in it, I'll finish it tonight. Or we'll just go with something else because I got a whole filing cabinet. But I really feel like God wants to impart something. I didn't come here to play. I tell jokes. I mess around. I'm a party dude. I think I'm in the right place. But when it comes to the word, and it's time for business. How many want to hear something from the Lord? Let's stand together. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God bless our guests here today. If it goes a little long, at least you got a comfortable chair to sit in. And the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians, please, if you could go there. And also, that's chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and also 2 Corinthians chapter 2, all right? And I'd like to know, just as a point of, I don't know who's who, and the only thing I know is there's two guests, first-time guests here today, and all the rest of you. And and it's good to see some folks I remember and made friends with. Faithful saints of God, good to see Brother Jerry. He used to live up in Hagerstown, Maryland, where we met in the very, very early 70s when I was really a new convert. After I was saved for 2 years, I went and started my church. I don't recommend that to anybody. That's why I'm a little wacky. It was kind of tough. But that's when I met Brother Jerry. It's good to see him. He's lived for God faithfully for so many years. Appreciate that. Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. Bible tells us, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they'll cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. And I'm just curious if we have anybody here. I'm not wanting to point you out or make any embarrass you, but I'd just like to know if we have anybody here today that has never had this speaking in tongues experience. When God baptizes you with the Holy Ghost, fills you with the Holy Ghost, these are all synonymous terms. It's evidenced by the supernatural sign, this experience of supernaturally praising and worshiping God in a language you've never learned before. And I'm just curious if we have folks here today that have never had that experience. Is there anybody over here who can raise your hand and say, I've never had that experience? It doesn't mean it's you're bad or anything. We just kind of want to know. Anybody here? Never had that experience. How about this section here? Anybody here ever? One, thank you, sir, very much. Anybody else over here? Okay, two, three, thank you. Anybody else over here? Four, thank you, sir. And anybody ever here? Five, thank you. Young lady, five. All right. Now, the Bible tells us that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. The word belly comes from a Greek word which means hollowness. So there's a hollowness in us. When you were born of your mother, I'm trying to be quick here. When you were born of your mother, you got your eyes, your toes, your fingers. You were complete physically, but you weren't complete because there's something missing in the hollowness. There's a place that only God can go, an emptiness, hollowness. And the Bible says, Jesus says that if you believe on me, I'm going to fill that hollowness with living waters. I'm going to give you an experience that's going to refresh you, empower you, and give eternal life to you. I'm going to put my life in you. Romans 14 and 17 says that when you're filled with the Spirit, you get righteousness, peace, and joy. See, that's why, because you weren't complete when you were born physically, that's why you have to be born again. Because that's when you get the completion to the package. Your mother gave you your physical, but only God can give you the spiritual. And so when you're born again, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're now complete. Colossians tells us we're complete in Him. When you get in Him and Him in you, now you found the missing piece of the puzzle. Some people look for it in drugs. They look for it in alcohol. They look for it in money. They look to it, try to experience it in sexual experiences and other partners and other wives and husbands. And they always think that maybe this will do that. And they always wind up empty because there's only one thing that can go in there. And that's God's Holy Spirit. And so we had five that said they'd never experienced it before. And I'd like to know, of the five of you, how many of you like to go home with that place filled with peace, real peace, and joy. And you can walk out of here a complete person. Of the five of you, are there any of you that like to? Hey, man, I'd like to have that. Okay, this young lady right here, she'd like to receive it. This couple right here, God bless you. That's three. This good gentleman right there, that's four. Hey, man, anybody else? And this brother right here, five. All five of them would like to receive it today. How many would like them to receive it today? Wouldn't that be great? That'd be great. So I'm thankful we haven't freaked you all out. And you can see something maybe God can give to you, and we want you to receive it. And when I'm through around 3 o'clock, that'd be your opportunity. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Paul is speaking to us, and he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Somebody said it was his wife. I don't believe that. The messenger, here's what the thorn in the flesh is. It was a messenger of Satan to buffet me or beat me. And here's why. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Unless I get the big head. Because he just had an awesome experience with God. A big deal experience. He had actually died and gone to heaven and come back. And he said, I saw stuff I can't talk about. Man, if I tried to tell you, you wouldn't get it. And, you know, if you've been to heaven and back, that kind of makes you feel like the man, you know what I'm saying? And to keep him balanced, he said, this thorn was given to me. Now, I personally believe Pastor Sutton, he's writing this in hindsight, 2020. I don't believe at the time he recognized why he was getting the thorn. He just had pain. That's all he knew. He knew now it was for a purpose of balance. And he says in verse 8, and if you don't have your Bible, look on the screen, for this I besought the Lord thrice. In other words, I prayed three different times that it might depart from me. And then he said in verse 9, and he said to me, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made in. This thorn's making you feel kind of weak, Paul, and get it. That's when I can put my strength in you. The weaker you feel, the stronger I can be. The weaker you realize you are, the stronger I can be in you. Now, I would have said, yeah, that's cool, but, you know, take the thorn away. I appreciate the Bible study, but could you take the thorn away? But he got a revelation. He grasped something. And this is what he grasped. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. The word infirmities is King James for weakness. I'll glory in my weakness. When I see how weak I am, I'm just going to glorify God in that. That, or for the purpose of the power of Christ, may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Instead of getting depressed about how pitiful I am, I think it's cool. He said, in reproaches, when somebody reproaches me, treats me bad because I'm a Christian, I dig it. In necessities, when I don't have a car payment and the tow truck's pulling into my driveway, glory. I'm weak, I need you. In persecution, somebody calls me a holy roller. I just start talking in tongues. In distresses and troubles. I love it. Now, he wasn't a masochist. It wasn't like he liked pain. But this is what he said. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. When I'm going through this junk, it helps me see my need. And then I can be strong. Because not until I can see my need can I have more of God's strength. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, he's talking about attitudes and getting them right. And he said, lest Satan, this is chapter 2, verse 11, should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant. I know some folks that are ignorant. But he said, we're not ignorant of his devices. When he's trying to get you into an attitude problem, he's trying to take advantage of you. He can only take advantage if he can mess with your attitude. So when you got a thorn, don't give Satan an advantage. Don't get an attitude. I'd like to talk for a few minutes. I won't talk for a few minutes, but I'd like to talk for a few minutes because I'm starving to death and melting away right before your very eyes. I've got a taco spirit on me and a fried chicken spirit on me. And I feel like Jesus, after 40 days of fasting, the Bible says, something that I could grasp. Afterward, he was a-hungered. That wasn't hard to believe. 40 days of not eating would make me hungry, too. Matter of fact, when I hear the word fast, it makes me hungry. My wife said the other day, Ronnie, the reason she said that, that's my name, she said, you're driving too fast. When I heard that, I had to pull over and buy a hot dog. Just made me hungry. I can't help it. And so I'm motivated to try to get us out of here as quickly as I can. So I'd like to talk about this thought. Next slide. Grasping grace. I believe that grace is not automatic. You've got to grasp it. Grace was available to you long before you ever got saved. But somewhere along the line, you grasped it. It was available all your life, but you had to grasp it. I want to help somebody grasp some grace today. Would you help me? Father, we bless you and honor you and thank you for your kindness. You are so kind and merciful. I thank you for these precious five souls that want to receive what you have for them. You're a wonderful God. I dig you so much. And if you filled me, you can fill them. If you bless me, you can bless them. Because you love them. No more or less than you love us, me. Thank you. Open our minds and our hearts. Help us to think also why we believe. Thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you for standing so long. You may be seated. That's the last time I'll tell you that. This scripture about Satan taking advantage. How many brought a thinking cap? Thought I saw somebody over here wearing a hat. Where is that? That sister back there has got a hat. Is that a thinking cap? Can it serve for a moment as a thinking cap? How many brought your thinking cap? Meaning, how many are going to think with me? I want you to shout with me, but I don't want you to turn your brain off. I'd like you to think with me. Let's look at the Message Bible, which is another translation of the scripture, where it says about Satan taking advantage of us. Next slide, please. Amen. We need a little monitor here so we can see, so we don't have to turn my head. You know what I'm saying? Just like it there. Cool. Can I have that by tonight? Thanks. Message Bible says about this Satan taking advantage. It says, after all, we don't want to unwittingly, without realizing it, give Satan an opening for yet more mischief. We're not oblivious to his ways. More mischief. That's what he's up to. He wants to work some mischief in our life. And he can only do that when we unwittingly or without realizing it give him that opportunity. For instance, he wreaked havoc upon all of us in the Garden of Eden when he got Eve over there where she shouldn't have been, looking what she shouldn't have been looking at, talking to somebody she shouldn't have been talking to. She gave Satan an advantage by even engaging in a conversation with him. Had she not drifted over where she shouldn't have been, she wouldn't have seen what she shouldn't have seen, and she wouldn't have been talking to who she was talking to. And Satan talked her right into. He took advantage. She gave him an advantage, and he worked some mischief. And sometimes, the scripture says, unwittingly, without realizing it, we give Satan some advantage with our attitudes and the way we think and the way we operate. And we don't want to give him advantage. Do you need a seat? Are you okay? Are you holding up the wall or what's going on over there? I mean, it's cool with me. I just want to make sure you're all right. You need something? Okay, cool. Hey, listen, don't let that wall fall down. All right, that's your job today. Okay. That's cool. I appreciate that kind of dedication. We need that. And that brother's taking care of that wall. That brother's taking care of that wall. There's two more here I'm worried about. That one. I'll take care of them. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, that brother's got that one. We don't have to pray. All right. Calm down, son. Satan is always looking to take advantage. If Sister Eve had never given him an opportunity, we'd all be in the garden today, eating all the fruit, naming animals, petting lions. But she gave him an advantage. We've got to be careful that we need to not be ignorant of his devices. He never announces, "Hi, I'm Mr. Devil. I've come to get you to backslide. Welcome to my house." No, he never announces himself. He didn't let Eve know who he really was. He was just a voice. Just a voice. And oftentimes, Satan's just a voice. He doesn't say, "This is coming from me, the big devil." No, sir. He doesn't even want you to know it's him taking advantage and more mischief in your life. He's messed with us so many times before we were saved, and he tries to since, but we're in a new position now. You know, twice, I just got this sermon the other day. Two times in the New Testament, Jesus told Satan to get thee behind me. He said it in the wilderness, and he said it when Peter said, "Don't go to Calvary," or words to that effect. And Jesus said twice, "Get thee behind me." I'm just working on this. Let me know how it goes. I won't test it out on you. The Bible says in Colossians that all things are under his feet. Principalities and powers, all things and dominions, everything's under his feet. That means Satan is under his feet. In Romans, the last chapter in Romans, it says that God is going to bruise Satan's head under your feet. So while yet before Calvary, he said, "Get behind me," twice. But after Calvary, after the resurrection from the tomb, after the ascension, he didn't say, "Get behind me." He said, "Get under me." And now he said, "Get under them." Amen. And today, he's under our feet. You may not realize it, and it may not seem like it, but you have authority and you have dominion over him, and he's under your feet. Come on. What he tries to do is work a little mischief to slip out from under your feet and start messing with your mind. Somebody lift your hands and give God some praise right now. For a minute, I want to talk about his grace, the riches of his grace. The Bible tells us about the riches of his grace. The word riches in the Greek means wealth and abundance. God's got something. You know, the richest people on the face of the earth don't live in New York City or Los Angeles. The richest people in the world live in this building right here. The richest people in the world are worshiping God in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and churches all over this world, because the riches of the kingdom are far more valuable than the riches of this world. When you let God bless you and empower you with his grace, you're getting eternal riches that are going to last forever. Our good brother who passed away this week, I don't know if he was wealthy financially or materially or whatever he had, whatever he's left, he left every bit of it. I heard the story about three guys. They made a deal with each other. The first guy to die, first guy to die, the other three guys put $10,000 in his coffin. The first guy went up to the guy's coffin, put 10 grand cash. The second guy went up, put 10 grand cash. Third guy wrote a check. Because he knew you can't take it with you. Amen. The only thing, the only riches you could get here that you could take with you are the riches of his grace that's going to take you from here into the glory world. And you got to have that kind of riches in order to go to heaven. The word riches means wealth. It means abundant. It means valuable bestowment. The root word of it is accomplished, full, furnished. When you grasp
grace. You got wealth. You got abundance. You got a valuable bestowment. And obviously you realize it. At least you act like you realize what a good thing you got going for you. Is anybody to believe that God is a good God? Does anybody believe in the abundance of his riches, his grace, his favor, his blessing, his strength? Woo! When you get Christ, you get a whole lot more than you even know about. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 tells us this, that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, we don't have just some hard-hearted religious figure that's not touched or moved by our weaknesses. He really does feel your pain. He cannot, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You may be seated. You remember? See, I'm not going to tell you, but I don't want you to have to stand the rest of the time. You can if you want. He's holding up a wall. Amen. Either that or the wall's holding him up. I'm not sure which one it is. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities or weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In other words, every feeling you got, he had. Every feeling of weakness he had. Every feeling of betrayal he had. Every feeling of setback he had. Every feeling of weakness he had, yet without sin. He never gave Satan the advantage. He went through everything we've gone through or ever going to go through. He just never gave Satan advantage. We gave Satan advantage. He just didn't do it. He just said, well, that's just the way it is. He prayed all night many times. And man, if he had to pray all night. What do you think? And so, he's touched. He's moved when you're hurting. That means you can come to him. The next verse says, let us therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, you want to see what it's there for. Therefore means because of, because you got a God that can be touched. Let's come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, many people don't come to God because they think, well, they feel guilty. Adam and Eve ran when God showed up. A lot of times people shrink away when they feel like God's getting near because of sin and guilt. But he's saying, when you have need, you can obtain mercy. The word obtain here comes from the same word in Acts 2:38 that says, receive, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. Here it's that same Greek word is translated obtain. And the Greek definition of it is take. Ye shall take the Holy Ghost. This couple right here, what's your last name? Watts? Man and wife? Friend? Watson? Laura? Nora? Nora. When you receive the Holy Ghost today, it's going to be because, A, you turned from sin and said, I want to walk with you. I forgive me for my sins. And then by faith, you're going to take the Holy Ghost. You see, receive in English has a connotation like I'm just supposed to stand here until something hits me. That's not what happens. By faith, you reach out and claim it and take it, and then you receive the Holy Ghost. Up here, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may take mercy and find grace. It's got to be taken. It's got to be grasped. When you're in trouble, when you're hurting, there's grace to be had, but you've got to grasp it. just like you didn't grasp it for those years before you got saved and God showed up and quickened you, made you alive, and you grasped grace. You grasped that you could be forgiven. You grasped that you could be cleansed. You grasped that you could be filled. You grasped that you could make it. You grasped that you could do it. As long as God continues to give me grace, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Can I get an amen? And you got to grasp it. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. 1 Timothy 1:14 says, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Exceedingly abundant. There's tons of it. There's no sin you can commit. Did you know, Brother Watts and Sister Nora, did you know there's nothing you can do to make God love you any more than he loves you right now or any less? He's got abundant grace. He loves you more than you could imagine. He loved you when you were nasty. He loved you when you were filthy. And he don't love you any more than he loved you right then, because it'd be impossible for him to love you any more than he does. Every good gift and every... Is anybody hearing what I'm saying here? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means he is consistent in his love. He's not ticked off one day and in a better mood the next day like we are. He loves you every day. He loves you 24/7, 365. He loves you with abundant love. Come on. And that love says, I can help you. I can save you. I can forgive you. I can fill you. That's called grace. And he moves on you. And he convicts you. No man can come unto me except the Father draw him. The Spirit drew you. We love him because he first loved us. It was his idea first for you to be saved, not your idea. You just finally caught on. Amen. He wanted to save you when you were 6. He wanted to save you when you were 10. He wanted to save you when you were 15. But he couldn't until you could grasp and get a grip. This is my time. This is my opportunity. In Ephesians 2 and 5, that we were dead in sins. He quickened us together. That means he made us alive. Is this all right today? I don't know. Is this going over? Okay. He made us alive. We were alive, but we were dead. We were alive physically, dead spiritually. But when we came into his presence, our spirit man came alive. He drew us to him. He brought us to him. That's grace. And we got convicted. And we repented. And he still continues to draw us and bring us to him. And we continue to get convicted. And we continue to repent. And he continues to forgive. And we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 and 7 says, 7 says, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, he's so kind. Verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, I've always heard, Pastor, that grace defined as unmerited favor. Have you heard it that way? Sure. I've preached it. Preaching it today. It means favor we don't deserve. Unmerited favor. But that's kind of ethereal. It's hard to kind of grasp what that means. I'd like you to take a look at this definition. You're way behind. Thank you for joining us. All right, look at this. That's funny, isn't it? What grace is this? The divine influence upon the heart. Hey, shrimp, stand up.
Remember when you got the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
You may be seated. What's up? You remember when you first felt God? Zoom. Remember that? That was grace. How's the wall doing? Remember when God moved on you? Maybe you were in a Bible study. You can sit down. Sir. Maybe it was in a Bible study. What was that? That was influence. It was God through His Word and through His Spirit influencing. We got some influence on us today, don't we? That's grace. Did you take a few laps here today? I would think so. There's only about like one person that didn't. Amen. I thought it was a pretty fair bet. Something went, whoo. Grace said, hey, good to see you, man. What's up? Come on, let's have some fun together. God said, I love you, man. I'm going to hook up with you. You're worshiping and maybe there's people in here that came in a little down and God influenced you. Woo. I mean, you feel better now. I've never gone to church and felt worse than I did before I got there because of influence. The Word, woo. The Spirit, woo. You guys felt that thing? That's Jesus said. When you're down and out, and God comes and lifts you up, and what looked impossible suddenly looks doable, and suddenly looks maybe I can make it, maybe I can do it. My God, I gotta get over this barrier here. The divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Grace's reflection. In other words, when grace operates in your life, it should reflect back in a response. How sad it was for Israel. The Bible says that they knew not the day of their visitation. When Jesus was on the earth, He was rejected by His own people. They knew not the day of His visitation. He influenced them. He raised them from the dead. He healed their leprosy. He opened their blinded eyes. He influenced them, but they just couldn't get it. They didn't grasp it, and they missed it as a nation. You see, grace has got to go two ways. It comes from God to you and then reflected back in the proper response. When you first got saved, you reflected it back. You responded correctly. You repented of your sins. That was grace going to you and you reflecting it back. It includes gratitude. The root word of it means cheerful or calmly happy. We weren't too calm this morning. Or well off. Gratitude. Thanks. Thanks. I give you thanks. For all you've done. Should I make a record? Amen. It's being grateful. It's being thankful. It's not walking out without praying through. It's not walking away without saying thank you, Jesus. When you get grace, when you get His influence, you ought to be thanking God every day that He's reaching to you and saying, I dig you. I love you. Here's some strength. Here's some anointing. Here's some help. Are you with me? You getting what I'm talking about? Grace is influence. God working in your life.
the word grasp, an English definition. And I'm saying that you got to grasp it. You got to get a grip of it. To grasp, it means to take hold of or seize firmly. To clasp firmly. To embrace or to take hold of intellectually. Meaning you got to get it up here before you can get it in here. Grace can't work if all it is here. It's got to be here too. Because your spirit's got to reach out and take it. Your spirit's got to receive it. It's like this next graphic, which is the next slide. The little kid holding on to the embrace, take hold of intellectually. You're still catching up. Amen. Grasping. Shrimp. Amen. You want to go up higher in God? Come here. What is your name? Dedrick? Okay. You can only go so far. To get up here in the kingdom. You can't do it by yourself. But God stretches out a finger. You got to grasp it. And then he can bring you up. You want to keep going? Just keep grasping. As long as you keep grasping, he's going to keep bringing you. Praise God. As long as you keep holding on, it doesn't matter how weak you are. What matters is how strong God is. Amen. Thank you, Dedrick. Here's another one, a little infant baby. And here's the third one. This is a baby that's very, very sick, a premature baby. Tubes running down, still had enough sense to know when there's something outstretched that's stronger than you, you better get a hold of it. I'm trying to tell somebody, when something is stretched out to you that's bigger than you, you ought to get a grip on it. And Jesus Christ is stretching forth his hand and he's saying, put your hand in my hand and I'll help you up a little higher. You can't do it yourself or you'd already done it. But if you'll come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I'll give you what you don't have. I'll be what you need. I'll give you where you lack. I'll give you where you are weak, and if you'll let me help you in your weakness, I'll make you strong. Somebody reach up and get a grasp on some grace right now. Somebody that needs some help today. Somebody that needs some strength today. Somebody, you don't have to backslide if you'll just get a hold of some influence from God. You don't have to drift away. You don't have to lose out. People that backslide, you may be seated. People that backslide, backslide because they don't get a grip. They don't grasp it. When you're feeling weak, when you're feeling pitiful, when you're feeling like everything's stacked up against you, you're on the verge of a supernatural dimension from God. The worse it gets, the better the opportunity. You still got your thinking caps on. Am I relating to you in any way, shape, or form? If you're getting something, would you raise your hand? Amen. Now, if you're hurting today, you don't have to stay that way. If you're discouraged today, you don't have to stay that way. If Satan is tempting you, you don't have to go that way. When you feel weak, there's a finger stretched out. When you feel alone, there's a finger stretched out. When you feel empty, there's a finger stretched out. When you feel like it's time to give up, there's a finger stretched out. You just got to reach out and take it. You just got to reach out and grasp it. I don't think I'm preaching the wrong sermon here today. I think that every one of us can afford to recognize I've got needs. We have needs when we don't think we have needs. Can you imagine, if you will, with me for a minute? I wonder how much stuff he protected us from this week that Satan wanted to do that we had no idea of. That's grace. I wonder what kind of car accident Satan had planned for you this week that didn't happen because God's got grace
And you don't even, I wonder what kind of diseases you could have caught this year that you didn't catch, because God said, hey, when you're weak, I'll be your strength. I'll be your blessing. I'll be your help. You know what? I don't have a need here today, Pastor. You're wrong. We all have a need, because without him, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. Don't take it for granted. Every day you live blessed is a day you got grace. Amen. And without him, we can do nothing. You can't live for God without his help. You can't be a soul winner without his help. You can't talk in tongues without his help. You can't survive without his help. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Somebody praise him with a loud voice right now. Somebody praise him with a loud voice. Praise him in tongues. Everybody right now, praise him in tongues. If you have the Holy Ghost, let it flow out of you and just start praising him in that heavenly language. Let God meet a need right now. Let him meet a need. That's what's beautiful about tongues. You can be praying about needs you don't even know you have. Oh, grasp it, grasp it, grasp it, grasp it. Oh, God. You may be seated. Ephesians 6 and 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Brother Derek, Dedrick, homie. Amen. Come on up. Come on up. But you can only go so far. Amen. Amen. You have needs you don't know about, because we're weaker than we think we are. A guy like you is going to be a little challenged understanding your weakness. You're strong, you're tough, you're big, you're bad, you're the man. But you've already learned that it only can go so far. There's places you want to go, you can't get there by yourself. But as long as you think you got it together, and we can all fall into that trap. We get self-sufficient. We're only really God-sufficient. And so sometimes God lets some thorns come to remind us how much we need him. Sometimes he lets some stuff happen. When he sees we're headed in the wrong direction longer before we ever see it. We usually don't see we're going in the wrong direction till there's almost the verge of catastrophe. But he can see it long before. And the Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Dedrick. Not your strength, not your power. And the only way that can be is if you live a life grasping, strong in the Lord, not in Dedrick, not by willpower, but by his power. Strong in the Lord. Let him, you couldn't do that without me helping you, so to speak, you understand? And he tugs and he pulls, and if we'll just give in and relax and release and allow his influence to keep moving in our lives, we can keep moving closer and closer and closer. Can you say praise the Lord? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That can only happen as you grasp. Fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12. Lay hold on eternal life. Get a grip on it. Lay hold on it. Whereupon thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. A few more minutes, we're out of here. Part two tonight or something else, depending on what the Lord says to me. If you don't come back, my feelings will be hurt. I'll be embarrassed.
hold fast. Talk about grasping. Somebody in this room, many somebodies, you need to grasp something today. But I feel so weak. Good. Not until you feel weak and sense weakness can you recognize you need strength. Time of need, time of need, time of need. Look what God said in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, where he said, my grace is sufficient. The Message Bible says it this way. Would you read it with me? And then he told me, when he after he'd prayed three times, and his focus was on his pain, his focus was on this thorn, his focus was on this difficulty. And the whole time, there was grace to help him, but his focus was on wanting to get rid of the thorn. And then he said to me, my is, it's all you need. We're not all reading. I want you to read it out loud with me. Ready? When I point, you say the next word. Then he told me, my is, it's all you. It's all you need. You think you need the thorn removed, but what you need is more grace. You think you need, he's saying, the problem removed, but what you need is more grace. He said, my grace is all you need. My comes into its own in your. So when you're feeling weak, that's when to grasp grace and let his strength come into its own in your life. That's how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Is anybody getting it? Then he goes on to say, once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap. Isn't that what we do? Oh, pastor, I can't be what I need to be because I blah, 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 blah. This is wrong with me, blah, blah, blah. This is blah, 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 blah. And this is blah, 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 blah. And it's my blah, 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 blah. And it's my blah, 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 blah. And he said, I quit focusing on my blah, blah, blah. You know, he never did tell us what the thorn was. You know why? Because you'd say, well, that doesn't apply to me. That's not my thorn. It applies to anything that causes pain. It applies to anything that's a difficulty. It applies to anything that you feel like you can't handle on your own. It applies to any trial you're going through. It applies to any situation you're in. Your thorn is anything you need help with. It's any of the blah, 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 blah. I'm almost ready. Blah, 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 blah. But pastor, blah, 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 blah. Oh, pastor, blah, blah, blah. I didn't come last weekend because blah, 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 blah. I didn't praise the Lord today because blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if I could hang on, pastor, because blah, 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 blah. And I didn't pray this week because blah, 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 blah. Focus. The whole time. Would you be Paul for me? Would you pray three times? And just be praying. Blah, 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 blah. I didn't say blah, blah, blah. I said blah, blah, blah. The whole time he's going blah, blah, there's a finger there. But he can't see it. Because all he's seeing is a blah, blah, blah. That is so like us. We just focus on what we don't like. Hey, you ain't going nowhere, Paul. Come on back here. We focus on what we don't like about our lives. We focus on what's causing hurt in our lives. We focus on the
what?
And when we do that, we can't grasp. Get the point? Right. Thank you. I'm a married man. And Satan wants you caught up in the blah, 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 blah. Because it's in the blah, 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 he can get the advantage.
It's when you're grumbling, blah, blah, blah. It's when you're griping, blah, blah, blah. It's when you're finding fault with the church, blah, blah, blah. It's when you're mad at the preacher, blah, blah, blah. It's when you're not where you need to be, blah, blah, blah. And you get your focus over there, and you get discouraged. You get mad. You get hurt. You get upset. Amen. Am I talking to anybody over here? Amen. It's when Satan's trying. He can start getting advantage. And you know what he says? Yeah, man. I hate that, blah, 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 myself. Well, isn't it terrible you're going through, blah, blah, blah? Well, man, why don't you just give up, blah, blah, because of blah, 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 blah. Come on, am I right? He tries to get you in that corner, blah, 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 and the whole time you can't see there's a finger right there to grasp. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a finger reaching out to every one of us right now. There's some blah, blah, blah in every one of your lives that you wouldn't be laughing. You're not just laughing about the blah, blah, blah. You're laughing because I got a blah, blah, blah in my life. And I'm trying to tell you, there's a finger sticking down in Birmingham, Alabama. It said, if you can get a hold of this right here, my strength can be made perfect in your blah, 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 blah.
Does that make sense?
But you got to reach out and take it. You got to reach out and grasp it. He said, once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the blah, 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 and began appreciating the gift. The gift.
That's a gift. It's a gift. That's a gift. You're hurting? I got a gift for you. You're in trouble? I got a present for you. You're weak? I got some. I love you so much. It's Christmas every day. It's your birthday every day. I got gifts, 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 gifts. And you know what? Here in Birmingham, it's not this. It's this.
There's a finger for every one of us. Why don't you reach out and take some of it right now? Why don't you reach out and take some of it? Lift your hands and just say, thank you, Jesus. And by saying, thank you, Jesus, you're getting a hold of the gift. You can get through your trial. You can get through your dark moment. You can get through your difficult time. You can succeed. You can grow. And let me finish the rest of it. Let's all stand, musicians, please. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. Pastor, does this make any sense? Okay. Sometimes I'm not sure. If God had just removed the thorn, he'd be Paul without a thorn. But instead of moving the thorn, he pulled him up higher. And in order to come up higher, he had to have a thorn. Because the thorn made him aware of a need he didn't even know he had. And by leaving the thorn, he could keep grasping grace. And Paul went on from victory to victory and from faith to faith. Ladies and gentlemen, if all God did was just move stuff that you don't like, you'd just be you without the stuff you don't like. And that looks good to us sometimes, but God's wiser than we are. And he says, if I just take care of the problem, you're still the same. But if I leave the problem, come on, sister, if I leave the problem and you grasp grace, amen, I can take you where do I want you to be. I can take you to places you can't get to by yourself. Anybody want to go up a little higher? Come on. Anybody want to get a little grace? Come on. Come on. Come on. You can't get there by yourself. Amen. But I got grace for you. I got strength for you. I got blessing for you. I've got anointing for you. I've got gifts for you. All you got to do is get a grip. Get a grasp. Grasp the grace. And you can come up a little higher. Anybody want to come up a little higher? Why don't you lift your hands and praise him with a loud voice? Come on, girls. You can come on up. Anybody and everybody can come on up. Amen. Anybody. All you got to do is reach out and grasp it. Would you put your hand on somebody's shoulder next to you? And would you pray for them with a loud voice that God would give them the faith to grasp grace?
We need 8 of our elders that have been assigned to work in the altar. Come right now. Come right now. Our elders that have been assigned to work in the altar. Come right now. Today. Come on, Brother Jerry. Come on.
Face that way. Line up across the front, please. I need about 5 more if I can get them. In the name of Jesus. Let's go back to the screen. Same slide. And then he told me, if we have any other altar folks, I need 2 or 3 over here, please. And then he told me, my grace is enough. It's all you need. You think you need this, you think you need that. Brother Sutton, if you could spread them out just a little bit. We need to make some space there. My grace is enough. It's all you need. My strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case. Everybody read the last sentence with me. Turn around, everybody that needs to, and read this last sentence with me. It was a case of Christ's strength moving in on my weakness. But in order for it to happen, he had to see his weakness, and he needed a thorn to see it. Verse 10, next slide, says, now I take limitations in stride. Dedrick, you could only get so far. Amen. And we tend to kind of get stressed out when we can't seem to get a little farther. He said, now I just take my limitations in stride. I found out I don't have to do this by myself. I've got some grace. I take limitations in stride and with good cheer. Quit complaining. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. You want to get stronger? First, you have to understand how much you need him. And if you want to get farther in God, you've got to see the need. You can't do it by yourself. There's no reason for anybody to ever backslide. Everything you could ever need is available to you whenever you need it. The word weakness comes from a Greek word that means feebleness. The root word of it is strengthless. Counselors, face the congregation. 5 precious people. It may be a little late, but let's not wait until it's too late. There's an opportunity. There's a finger stretched out. Everybody in the church, pray. Would the 5 of you come to one of these councils right now? We have some ladies. We have some men. Would you just slip out of your seat? Here's your opportunity now. Somebody's in your way. Just say, excuse me, please. And just slip out into the aisle and come on down right now. This is your opportunity. That's right. Got the 1, 2. We got this brother over here. Come as quickly as you can, please. Here comes another gentleman here. I need brothers with brothers, sisters with sisters. I need you to talk to them a little bit about repentance. Counselors, talk to them a little bit about repentance. And I need a counselor with this brother here. That's right. Just get him off by yourself there, brother. Talk to him about repentance. Amen. All 5 of them are here. Is there anybody else? Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you would like to receive the Holy Ghost today. You didn't have to have raised your hand. You can get some grace here today. Now, I don't know about this brother. Does he need the Holy Ghost? I don't know. Right there behind you. I don't know what the deal is here. Now, how many saints of God we got here that need some more strength? And you know you do. Anybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those of you that don't have your hand up, that means you got it totally all together. You got everything all wrapped up. Let me ask again, how many of you feel like you need to grab a hold of some grace here today?
you have some needs. Would you come in quickly behind these people? Would you come in quickly? God's going to do something supernatural here in the next 5 minutes. In the next 5 minutes. In the next 5 minutes, something is going to happen.